It's time for the Savor Food Podcast with Southwest Florida's favorite chef, Matt Geiger. Hey there, Charlie McDermott, producer of the show, back here with Chef Matt Geiger. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I know you just wrapped up a weekend. What? This must be a brutal day, Monday morning, by the way, for listeners and watchers, for you to get up early and you know, be on the show, but kudos to you for doing this. And I know, man, you're going to cover a lot today. A lot of great questions you get asked all the time.
Yep.
So let's dive into that, Matt. You know, what are some of the frequently asked questions that you get?
You know, this is a subject that I really needed to go over for a while. So this is a perfect opportunity to get it out there and get everybody to, you know, get their questions answered before they even have to call us. So I'm also going to be able to put this on the website and help people out that way. But let's just dive right into it. We get lots of calls and lots of emails, and people are always asking us stuff. And I feel like the number one question everybody starts with is how much, right? How yes. much is it to get my wedding catered, or how much mm-hmm. will this be? Or I want to do, you know, dinner for 15 people. How much is it? And the short answer is, it depends on what you want, because yeah. I don't know what really you want, and it just depends on what all goes into it. So for the long answer, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to doing catering. It's not just simply bringing in food and dropping it off. It's, you know, full service. So there's a whole team before and after your event that has a lot of stuff going on. So when it comes to doing your party, we don't know if you're going to need rentals. We don't know if you're going to do just food and service. We don't know if you're going to do a corporate lunch or, you know, a high-end 7-course dinner for 12 of your friends. So in short, you know, we need to see what your expectations are and what things that you're thinking in your head. And then we can create a custom quote for you guys and go from there. And then even after the quote, we can figure out and yeah. kind of dive in and see maybe this is too much or too little, or maybe we can add that and add that. But to really give you an accurate price, we need to at least have some general idea of where you want the end product to be. And we're happy yeah. to do that. Our turnaround time is usually a couple days. It's not weeks. It's not usually, if you get us on the phone, you're going to get something that day or the next day. You know, unless a weekend hits, you're going to have it pretty fast. You know.
Well, you know, the other part that comes to mind is the old "I don't know what I don't know." You know, I want it
right.
catered. You're the expert. I'm probably missing things in my mind.
Absolutely.
And if a price just gets thrown out, it's either too expensive or not expensive, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't mean anything.
Right,
And, you know, you probably help your clients, not probably, I know you do, you know, kind of create that wish list, you know, hey, this is everything, right? And that's like, wow, there's 5 things on there, I had no idea you guys do.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
And then it's the old, okay, but maybe for some, we have a budget, so let's figure
Absolutely.
Out what we pull out or, yeah.
Yeah, and if you know your budget, it's so, at least, you know, can give us an idea. We're going to try our best to stick within that. But so many times, again and again, we hear, oh, it's out of our budget after we send the proposal out. And it's like, okay, well, let us know your budget. And well, we don't know what it is yet. Well, you definitely know what it isn't. So if you know what it's not, then there's got to be some sort of, you know, give and take. And we try to help people as much as possible. You know, it is what it is, but we can only be so accommodating if we don't know what we're yeah. supposed to be doing. And
you're,
like
you're like the
sorry, go
I was
ahead.
Gonna say you're like the physician, and I come in and I say, "Doc, I'm feeling sick. Prescribe me something."
Right.
And you're like, "Yeah, but Charlie,
what's wrong
what
with you?"
Or what? Yeah. Right? Well, I don't know. I just need medicine.
Right. And people, like you said, it's people don't cater all the time. I mean, I would say unless we're doing a cocktail party or a house party or something like that, if we're doing a wedding, that's probably the only time they're going to get a catering. That's the first time they've ever got a yeah. catering. Yeah. And unless they're getting help from somebody else who's already been through it, they don't know what to expect. And we're trying to, you know, make that smoother and get, you know, get things a little easier for them, because it can be daunting. You know, people say, I want to have a 250-person wedding until they see the bill. And they're like, okay, well, it costs a lot of money to feed 250 people. I mean, it is what it is. If it's $20 a head, you know, that's $5,000 with no taxes, no nothing. It is what it is. So, you know, I would say if somebody's having a 200-person plus wedding, you know, they're going to be in the $10,000 to $20,000 easy. So, and that's with not that extravagant of meal. So, but I hope that helps everybody. We're going to move on to the next question, just so we don't get hung up on the first one. We got a lot of stuff to get through.
Let's hear it.
So next up, we get asked where we prepare the food. Well, right now, for the last 3 years, I've been using a commissary kitchen here in Fort Myers, and it's been great. It's a perfect spot to, you know, to start out, but it still feels like I'm in an actual kitchen, because it is. It's a commercial kitchen. It has a huge walk-in cooler, walk-in freezer, dry storage area. It has all the you know, normal, you know, the equipment that you're going to see anywhere else. And I invite anybody who wants to come take a look at it, by all means. What's really exciting, though, right now is that we're actually building out our own space. So we have construction going on. I'm hoping it's done in the next couple months. And we're going to have our own kitchen space. We're going to be doing chef's tables. And we're going to have a small coffee shop up front. And, you know, I can't wait to have a spot where people can come in and see us and, you know, hang out and, you know, just see what we do. It's really, really exciting. So that was the next frequently asked question. And then I think I touched on this a little bit before, and about how long it takes to get a proposal. We're generally in the office Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 in that area. Well, sometimes 9 to 5, but we tell people 10 to 4 just to be safe.
Right.
You know, Monday mornings we get our answering machine and all that stuff, and we usually get back to you that day. As far as getting the proposal goes, it just depends on how fast we get the information. So if you give us the information right up front, you could have a proposal in an hour to the next day. It never generally takes more than 48 hours, unless there's a lot of little things, or we have to call rental companies, or there's special needs, or, you know, that kind of thing. But in general, if you even send us, you know, an internet inquiry from the website, you're hearing from us the next day. And if not, the day after that, but I would say 90% of the time you're hearing from us the day after you send it. Yeah. We've had people call like, I just sent that in like an hour ago. It's like, yeah, well, we're in the office. So, you know, we try to get back to people as quick as possible. So that was another frequently asked question, is how long does it take to get a proposal? And that really just depends on how much information you have about your event on hand. So,
yeah, yeah. So the summary there is, the more information you have to go on, the
right,
quicker.
Right. Yeah. Not everybody has it. You know, everybody, some people call and go, I have this event and I've never done this before. Great. Thank you for being honest. Do you have a budget? Can we work something out, or do you want us to just create something for you? 9 times out of 10, it's way easier for us to just create something for the customer to modify versus we want to start from scratch. And that's why we need some general information. If you're saying, you know, we have a funeral for 2 hours, I'm not going to break out some huge fancy dinner. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do easy stuff that people can walk around with. They're not doing a sit-down meal. I know these things from doing hundreds and hundreds of parties. So if you do have a question or anything, just reach out. It's if we can't do it, we'll try to refer you out. But for the most part, we try to work with you. So, awesome. So moving on, what is the service charge and what is it for? And I actually love this question, because we get asked this quite a bit. Our service charge goes to everything outside of the time of your event. So your event is 4 hours long, let's say, dinner party. It took maybe 3 or 5 phone calls or more with the girl in the office. It took emails back and forth. It takes rental companies, and we have to, you know, rent out our dishes. We have you know, chefs in the kitchen that are not at your event. They're cooking your food and getting it ready in the kitchen. There's vehicles, there's trash removal, there's all of these moving parts before your event that lead up to it, hours and hours. Even if your event's only 4 hours and 10 people, let's say. We don't just show up with it. It's not magic, you know? So, and then even after your event, you know, we have, you know, servers bringing the vans back and unloading them and, you know, throwing out the garbage. And there's just all of these little nuances that go into a catering. And that's what that service charge covers. There's way too many to list. You know, you go to a restaurant, you sit down. It's $20 for your meal. You get up, you go. You're there for like 45 minutes or an hour. But for us, you know, we don't have everything right there. It takes planning. It takes vehicles. It takes all of these things to bring that experience from the restaurant or better. We try to do it better than if you were to go out and bring it to you, right? And for that, it can't be this cookie cutter thing, because not everybody's house is the same. Not everybody's venue is the same. Sometimes we're in a field with no running water or electricity and we have to figure it out. We're bringing generators. We're bringing, you know, our own water in, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on. So as far as the service charge goes, you know, that is kind of a blanket thing, and you're going to see it from other caterers. We're not the only one. It's industry standard, I like to tell people, and what they charge and what I charge is on them. That's what those things cover. It's not just some arbitrary charge for me to get more money out of you.
Yeah.
You
know? Hey, let's just put this arbitrary fee down.
Right. It doesn't work like that. You know, when you call here, the girl in the office answers the phone. I mean, that's not covered by your plate cost. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So, and then another thing is that it's also not the same as gratuity. You know, that service charge is to cover all of the things that taken out of your event. Gratuity is on the customer. I don't make it mandatory, you know, and it's at the discretion of the customer. So I just wanted to make that pretty clear. Let's move on. Let's do how do I confirm my date? Super easy. Even if you're not 100% on all of your, you know, maybe you don't know how many people are, maybe you don't know the rentals, maybe you don't know any of that stuff, but you can confirm your date by just getting a deposit in. Whatever your end charge is going to be after all of the planning's done, it will fix itself. You'll have the updated invoice for that. But I always tell people if they're comfortable and they're solid and they trust us and they want us to do their party, get your deposit in, because we're booking out for weddings a year and a half in advance. You know, we're booking October 2024 right now, and that's 2 years away. For whatever reason, you know, kudos to those people, because they're knocking out their big ones first. Yeah. Right? So once you figure out your wedding, that's your first check mark. Then after that is catering, for sure, because some of the venues have catering, some don't, and you don't want to go through, get proposals, shop around, all this stuff, and then make your decision, and then all of a sudden they're booked, and you all of your planning and all that stuff is for nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So we encourage people, and we work with people on deposits too that are real far out. Like we generally take half up front. And then from there, we figure everything out. And then you have all the way up until 5 days to give me your final count. Yeah. And then your balance is due at that time as well. You know, you can't make any menu changes 2 weeks out. But again, all that stuff is done so far ahead of time. You know, it's better to just get on the calendar and guarantee you. Because we only take 2 weddings in a day. You know, there's lots of companies out there that take a lot more. But I want our quality to stay there. I want you to see familiar faces. I want that customer experience to be as best as it can be. And you can't do that by just loading yourself up with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So we do 2 weddings a day. And it goes Saturday's books first, then Friday, then Sunday. It's in that order for every single wedding venue and everything on the planet. It's just what it is. Yeah. So I just encourage people that, you know, if you're solid on, maybe you're not solid on the menu, or maybe you're not solid on the rentals or whatever, but if you're solid on your vendor, and not only me too, I encourage this for all of their vendors, not just the caterers. You know, their DJs, those people get booked up. And if you're going to see a DJ, a lot of those companies has one or two people, and you're going to want that person. Well, that if there's only one guy there that you want, that's only one day.
Yeah.
And wedding season's 7 months, 6 months. So get your deposit in. get your date locked down so that we can take care of you. All right, so next question. We're going to say, what time do you show up to the event? We, in general, I say in general because, again, everything's, you know, every situation's different. For a wedding, we're there an hour and a half to 2 hours before ceremony time. That's when we get on. And that's plenty of time to do whatever setup, and we don't want to be down to the wire. We want to get everything set up. Be relaxed, be not rushing around, all that stuff. We want to make sure everything's taken care of. As far as a house party goes, generally we'll be there an hour and a half, hour to hour and a half before they want to start. And depending on what they want to do, if they have a lot of setup, some people have a lot of setup, and a lot of, like, they want these buffets and these grazing tables and stuff that takes time. You know, maybe I'll show up 2 hours before. But if it's, say, it's a, you know, cocktail party or a plated meal or something like that for a small group, I'll be there an hour beforehand just to make sure everything's ready and, you know, get used to their kitchen and do my looking around to make sure I know where everything is, that kind of thing. So that's so an hour to hour and a half for a private event, and an hour and a half to 2 hours for a wedding. And if the wedding does have a lot, we'll show up 3 hours. It all depends, you know.
Makes sense.
So once we're on site, this is a question we get. We get quite a bit, and we shouldn't, because the chain of events should not care for it. But we always get asked, like, who's in charge, or maybe we don't get asked, but I always want to make sure that my client knows who's in charge on site. Every event that goes out the door, whether it's five people or 300, we have what's called a lead, right? Mm-hmm. So the lead is the person that's going to be the liaison between the customer and the rest of the staff. And I don't encourage my staff to go talk to the customer, because it creates confusion, and maybe they shouldn't be doing something, or maybe the client asks this staff person to do something, but then the lead doesn't know, and the lead's wondering why they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, you know, we always ask people to communicate directly with the lead. And then they'll pass that on to the rest of the staff, you know, where things go, how things are going to get set up, if they have special requests, any of that stuff. Just relay that through the lead, and then that makes the whole process a lot easier. If the lead's not around, we have the chef, right? And whether that's, you know, me or my chef in the kitchen, they work hand in hand with the lead. So should you not find the lead anywhere, the chef is the next person in line that you would want to talk to. But generally not the general staff. And it's kind of hard for my office girl too, because she talks with these people. She talks with these people for sometimes months and ahead of time. Yeah. And when she goes out and she's not the lead, people always want to talk to her, and I'm always like, you know, this, you know, find a diplomatic, nice way to say, you know, the office is where my expertise is.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, I'm coming on parties, you know, to help out and to be a part of the team, but on site, you know, so-and-so is the lead person and you know, everything's got to go through them, and it's a struggle sometimes.
So she just kind of makes that introduction and steps away.
And it happens, especially with weddings, because people, you know, right now I have one office girl. She's, you know, talking to 99% of the people. You know, I might fill in a little bit, but so everybody's comfortable with her. They know her name. They, you know, they all this stuff. So when she gets on site, they just beeline it for her. And then sometimes she doesn't know. She's like, this isn't you know, this isn't my thing. You know, I don't do this. But yeah, so I guess that's most of my questions. I have one more question that we get asked on site quite a bit, and it pains me to say no, but but it's for a good reason. So our bonus question that we get asked by clients on site is, would you like to have a cocktail to us? We get asked all the time. Weddings, private parties. We just did a party on Saturday, and that's one of the first, can we get you a glass of wine or whatever? And I have to remind them, it's not our party. You know, it's your party. We're actually working right now. You know, we're at our job. So, you know, this comes up in our staff meetings too quite a bit, because sometimes it's hard to say no, and I just simply can't open up, even if they say it's okay and the client, we cannot open up that kind of liability to our staff. So, and at the beginning when I first started catering, it was just like me and one other guy. I totally admit it. Like we would have like a beer or something. And I just, as we're growing, we have to start having rules and a way that we do things. And so I just tell my staff, basically just let people know that you don't drink. Don't say, no, I can't, 'cause I'm working. Don't say, no, I can't, my boss won't let me, because then that opens the door for people to say, oh, well, he won't know, or, oh, it's okay, I said so. Or, you know, we get badgered a lot to like join the party. You're at a party, you know? And it's really hard to be like, no, we don't want them to feel like, no, we don't want to hang out with you, or no, we don't. But it's hard. It's a hard line to have when you're at your job, right? Even though it looks like a party to everybody else, it could be 100 people there, but we're at our job. So I just tell people to say, no, we don't drink, or because then maybe they think that you quit drinking or you just don't drink or something. And, you know, try to be polite as possible, but we just can't open up that. We can't open that up to a bunch of staff people. I can't take that.
I mean, that's, you know, that's,
And that's a food and beverage thing in general, you know, as far as restaurants and everything goes. That's you're around it all the time, and if you let it go a little bit, it gets out of hand really fast. So after 17, 18 years in the business, I just have to be like, nope, we'll save that for when we're clocked out and off the job. You know,
what you do after hours is your business.
So I mean, that pretty much covers all of our frequently asked questions. I don't know if you thought of anything while I'm talking, if there's any questions that you might have talking to a caterer. Do you have anything in mind?
You know, you covered not only the ones I had in mind, but ones I didn't even think of. You know, I really think it's to your point. You know, I'm kind of a last minute Larry, so I'm one of those that, you know, oh geez, I'm getting married tomorrow, I better call catering. You know,
so I know.
I'm glad you got that one out there. And you know, the behind the scenes stuff, it's a business and
right. It's a business.
Lot, like you said, there are a lot of moving parts behind the scenes that one, your clients don't have to mess with.
Right.
And that they'd be paying for, whether they're hiring, you know, the rental company or spending time setting all that up. So I'm glad you explained that service charge, because I never really understood that.
Yeah. And you know, some people like get caught off guard by it, and they're like, oh my God, this is preposterous or something. It's like, you know, time costs, your time costs, my time costs. And you know, where I'm sitting right now, this is an office. This is not my kitchen. This isn't the stuff on the site. This is an expense, and for me to cover this, for you to be able to have somebody to call 5 days a week, for you to have somebody to respond to your emails 5 days a week, it costs. And that's out of the side. If I made a, you know, a plate of spaghetti $40 or $80 for you're not going to pay for it, because you're going to say that's outrageous. Right? So this is why we have this industry standard. I'm not going to hit you with a bunch of other fees that I've seen on other invoices, environmental fees, gas surcharge, all this stuff. I just blanket it with the service charge. I've raised it one time in the last 3 years. And you know, it's really important that people know and hear that, because they just think it's some arbitrary charge. It's not. We want to be able to take care of you, and to be able to take care of you costs time and money.
Yep.
So, yep. All right.
Good.
So,
good
point. I think that's all I have for today. Is there anything you want to say or?
Nah, you know, I appreciate you coming in early on a Monday morning.
And, this is a great time.
I know this is, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's valuable for not only your clients, but others, as we've talked about. You know, this podcast goes out globally. I mean, certainly in the States, a lot of people getting married, and they have those questions that you've guided them along. So, no, I'm looking forward to episode number 3.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's keep rolling with these.
Sounds great, Matt. You have a good one.
You too. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Savor Food Podcast. To learn more about Savor First Choice Catering, go to savorfirstchoicecatering.com. That's Savor, S-A-V-O-U-R, First, F-I-R-S-T, Choice, C-H-O-I-C-E, Catering, C-A-T-E-R-I-N-G.com, or call 239-351-5547.